sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
Hi. Oh, shit. I've been getting this wrong. Hello, Rolando.
Hello, John.
I'm John. Yeah. J-O-A-U. John.
Of the group, you are the pretty stepsister.
Yes. I'm the young one that has yet to become into a full fruition womanhood.
Call back to last week's movie. Go listen to that episode. Welcome to the show. This week we'll review Spiral. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts and go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your podcatcher of choice.
Before we get into this movie, I have to ask, had you seen any of the other Saw movies?
I think I've only seen the first Saw movie.
Oh, okay. So you skip from the first Saw movie to Saw Spiral. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm curious about what you watched.
Yeah. I had to match the thumbnail to the thing you sent me and be like, okay, this is the one.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, a lot of movies named Spiral.
There's one made in 2001.
Which is another Japanese horror movie, right? About a town that sees spirals everywhere and it makes them go insane.
Yeah. Signs. M. Night.
Signs.
Shyamalan. I don't know. But yes, we are reviewing Spiral, part of the Ring series, which we'll get into in a sec.
Which your boy didn't even fucking realize it was a Ring movie until the third act. And I was like, oh shit, I'm in for it now, because I was already into the movie.
I am actually a little jealous that you had that, didn't have that information before.
Because it was like, oh, this is fucking rad. There was something, I think there was like a little like footnote at the beginning of the movie that explained that this movie came out the same, but I read it funny, like it came out the same time as The Ring, but I didn't understand what it meant. I just thought like, oh, another movie tried to come out at the same time and this one didn't do as well.
Right.
And the whole time I was like, oh, what's his name? I keep forgetting his fucking name. Legendary actor. I was like, oh, he's in this one too. Cool, cool, cool. And I'm watching this whole movie, which arguably, right, I guess somebody, same deal as me, if you're unaware this is a Ring movie, you don't really catch that until way later. And you're like, oh shit, it's a Ring movie.
I didn't have that. I don't have the first Ringu movie in my mind. And yeah. So I was like learning all this other stuff about this famous actor.
Scorpion. No, his other famous actor. Hiroyuki Sanada.
Yes. Who is having, you know, who's just having a moment right now because of he's in the Hulu series. What is it? Oh my God, you're going to make me click on this, aren't you? Okay.
Wait, Shogun?
Shogun, yes.
Oh, I don't think he's really gone anywhere at all. Like, he is always around.
Yes, he's always been well-respected, has shown up in a lot of things, has been excellent in everything, but now he's started gaining awards and like this is very heralded, beloved TV series or whatever. So to the point where like they're making a sequel, even though there was no sequel to this book. So because it's become so popular. And
you know what it looks like his first American movie was?
What?
The Last Samurai.
Oh, I mean that kind of tracks. I think he has a background. He was like, I think, again, like has a background with like, he's like an actual swordsman. He's like somebody who's like somebody who was trained and is a swordsman. I think he did a lot of the stunt work.
Oh, I didn't know he was a nerd. He's a Japanese actor and singer. Graduated from Neon University with a BA in film. Graduated from Horikoshi High School.
Me too.
Yeah. We all, yep. We all know where that's at. He was born in Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah. Just gonna... But yeah, I mean, he's...
He was briefly married in the night.
Yeah, I mean, seeing him in this movie, I completely did not remember he was sort of the main protagonist of the first Ring movie. The Japanese
one. Was he just kind of one of the last people?
I don't remember. I have to obviously go back and revisit it. This is a series that, you know, when he came out, I was like really into, especially the American remake, of course, introduced many and myself to Japanese horror movies, or J-horror, as they call it.
J-horror.
And that inspired me to go back and look at the Ringu movies, and was excited about the sequel, and the sequel to the American Ring movie sucked, and that was kind of like where it died, my interest.
Yeah.
In that time, you know, I saw some, you know, like The Grudge and stuff like that. And I've seen stuff over the years, like we reviewed When Missed Call, which is, I thought was a really solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, again, I was actually really happy that you didn't know it was a Ring movie and was surprised. So.
Yeah, it wasn't until they started talking about, because this movie does not involve the videotape for a good chunk of it. They kind of casually mention something, but it involves a notebook. And the whole time I was like, interesting. Yeah, this is cool. And then the video happens. I'm like, what? That's the fucking Ring. And then they're like, Sadako. I'm like, oh, shit. That's the movie.
Truly an unsullied viewing experience. Excellent.
Yeah, it's great.
So, John, we've already established you have many talents, right? Write music, play music, you listen to music.
Watch extensive porn where gerbils have their tails, which don't exist, tied to each other.
Sure. Yeah, that's a talent. But again, what I think you do best, your gift, is summing up movies in 5 words. John, do you want to give us a plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Spiral, the Ringu movie, Doctor keeps losing his kid.
Yes.
It's a little bit fucked up. Coming in at number 2 for Spiral, Goth zombies help destroy Earth.
Yep.
And coming in at number 1 for Spiral, a Ringu movie, Sadako is very horny. I think that's only 4 words, but
fine.
A Sadako is very horny.
A Sadako. The Sadako.
Maybe the Sadako is very
horny. Yeah, based on our fragmented memories, we're not aware of how old she's supposed to be.
Allegedly not, yeah. We're like, yeah, she's a child. And then we're like doing our research, like, apparently it took. Picks up with her in college, so I think we're very wrong. She's trying to be an actress, and I was like, oh, whoops.
This is one film series that I think from the outside it sounds like interesting, because it's a great first movie. Ringu is a great first movie, right? And just like,
yeah.
But once you start, when I looked at the Wikipedia page of all the films and TV and all this stuff, I was like my eyes rolled out of my head. I was like, there's no way to accomplish this in a coherent way. And I think this movie Spiral has sort of a legacy of being kind of a odd sequel to the original movie, or even a movie that wasn't particularly enjoyed or liked at the time because people were like unsatisfied with it being a sequel.
Do you think another example of, I think I just mentioned this about something else, but like the Halloween series where it was like, there isn't enough Michael Myers in this or at all. We don't like it. Even though the intention, because it really does seem like this one involves a spiral notebook, right? That's what the whole point is, like another medium for the curse to, you know, spread. So I'm wondering if they wanted to try to do that, make it like different things where this curse can like, it's unkillable and just keeps evolving like a virus. And I'm sure people are like, nah, we don't like it. Show us the video 1,000 times so we can get epilepsy.
I think that the premise of this movie with that sort of...
ALS.
That idea of...
It's not funny.
Of like, well, I think what I think is so great about Ringu is that it's just one of those like brilliant, simple ideas. A cursed videotape. People watch it and then you die in 7 days. Like, that's such an easy thing to understand. And, you know, it's a one sentence thing. You can easily interpret and like see it play out. And so when this movie tries to go, I think, in different directions and tries to incorporate, you know, pathology and like it gets a little more heady. It gets a little bit kind of more out there.
Which I enjoyed the hell out of. Yeah. There was something very, I don't know, like Cronenberg Lynch about it. Just very weird and getting in a weird headspace. But I do hear that, yeah, you're watching a movie and in 15 minutes and now like, oh shit, you're going to die. And then all these other fools are like, I'm going to die because I fucking read. That sucks. You're going to kill me because I was reading something. It's like, well, you're reading somebody's diary, essentially. I'm like, okay, that's fucked up. You're right. I deserve to die in 7 days.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this one, I think it's trying to expand on the mythology, but I think clunkily doing so, I think it was just too different. It's just too different of a movie. Because I think this movie, I think, has its own merits, you know? And I think the Ringu movies, just so they're so different from each other. So calling it, so it being a sequel and sort of tied to it kind of like leaves it in a place where it's kind of on the outside.
And it's looking in and it could see through you, see your true colors, but inside you're ugly. You're ugly like me.
Wow.
It's stained.
Beautiful. Oh, that wasn't YouTube? Oh. No. Got my musicians messed up.
Oh, you want to hear a little tidbit about that real quick? I'm going to get a little music trivia that I just learned. I'm not a fan of Stained or Aaron Lewis.
Especially now. Especially.
Yeah, especially now.
Right.
But apparently Stained was the opening act for Limp Bizkit for a long time, or like while they were touring that one album. And Fred Durst said like, hey, I'll do a song with you, just to the lead singer, like, I'll do a song with you, but I want it to be this song, and we got to play it tonight. Like, I'll go on stage and sing it with you. And Aaron Lewis was like, totally sure, but he had only the chorus. He had only ever played Fred Durst the chorus because that's all he had written. So when you watch that video, that famous live performance, the first version of the song we ever heard, he made up the whole song. Which makes a lot of sense because it's the same fucking chords over and over and over and over again. But it is impressive that this song blew up and he made it up on the spot. Just to have Fred Durst casually come in and go, see through you, like shit like that.
I feel those lighters. Yeah. You know.
It's like, you know what performance I'm talking about too, right? It's like,
yeah. That
everybody was like, oh, this is genius. And then you try to listen to it and I was like, Stained. Stupid.
Yeah.
With that said, I would love for Fred Durst to collaborate on a song.
I do admire your admiration for that period of music, because I was yeah. Not interested in any of it. All right. I think I was very impressed by this opening scene, because I like that we meet the protagonist here. We meet, I'm trying to find his name. I don't remember. Andu, right? They call him Andu.
Yeah.
And he is basically, he's pulling stuff out, medical stuff, and he's gonna basically looks like he's about to kill himself. And
yeah.
He's kind of going through it, the music is rising in it, and then he doesn't. And I just love this like smash cut to him, like, oh, well, I'm just gonna go about my day. So he's like shaving himself in the mirror and like with an electric razor, and then he goes to his job and stuff like that. Very relatable. Very relatable opening scene here.
Which, God, I want to know what electric razor people were using in the 90s. Because, I mean, I'll use an electric razor, but I still got to fucking use a razor blade to shave off the stubble.
Really?
Yeah. But then, do you have an electric razor that gets that close?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for the most part.
Because he was, like, completely clean. I was like, damn, he doesn't even need a shave. He looks great.
Yeah.
I'm poking fun of the fact that he was already clean shaven before he did that scene.
Yes, yeah. I got that. Yeah, he was pretty, he looked pretty well. Even his like disheveled look where he's only going to kill himself, he still looked good. So.
Yeah.
And well, he finds out that following the events of the first Ring movie, the what is it? The main character, the is dead, and Ando is his friend, and they're going to try to figure out why he died and then do an autopsy on his body. And
yes,
there is where he finds a cryptic note in his stomach, which I kind of knew that was coming. I don't know why that occurred to me, but I figured like they're going to cut this guy open and they're going to fucking find a piece of paper in it. I just fucking knew it.
Because it seemed like everything was leading toward, they're like, hey, remember that guy you went to school with for pathology? The guy that was like the best in the class? And he was like, yeah. He was like, well, you're going to do an autopsy on him because he's dead. And he's like, oh. He's like, no, I'm being serious. And it's like one of those things is like, he made it seem like he hadn't talked about the guy in a long time. And then just for him to like laugh it off. I'm like, but.
Yeah, I think this is the nitpick that I'm going to pick to nit here is that I kind of feel like him being a pathologist, a doctor, was very forced in this movie. Because I feel like they had to take some very leaps of logic to get the cops to not only have his friend do the autopsy instead of whoever the police would hire, the coroner, as you would in the real world, or even meet his girlfriend. Like, why would the pathologist be there to meet the girlfriend?
Yeah.
Why would he? There's just a lot of instances in this movie where it's like we have to kind of force him being in these situations to progress the story, and in essence leaving the cops looking stupid. Like, they don't know how to do their job in reality. But I mean, a movie will always movie, so that was probably my biggest nitpick. Like, they were trying to motivate reasons as to why he was there at all, because why he's associated.
Oh, it's because, you know, he had to do the pathology, and also they would do riddles in school. There was a lot of stretches.
Yeah, right.
It was like,
yeah. I thought that was at least a fun one. I like that. That's,
yeah, it was like super fun.
That,
yeah,
and, you know, that they basically would, yeah, like you mentioned, they do riddles. So there's like a number system and for words and stuff like that. And they would, I guess, use this. They had it all mapped out in like a notebook or whatever. A spiral notebook.
Oh, no, yeah.
And so,
which also didn't really say anything. I mean, I guess it did mention what the tape was about, right? That's what the whole spiral is saying.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he basically confirms that, yes, there's a mysterious cursed videotape and it's haunted and murdered his friend and his family, the kid and the wife. And I was like, oh, great. There's another dead kid. Classic Skeleton Boys movie already. We love our dead children. And I like how this is portrayed as just the arm out of a gurney, a bloody arm out of a gurney.
Yeah.
Because they died.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Classic Johnny Skeleton Boy confusing The Grudge and The Ring again. I was like, oh, this is like The Grudge or something.
Yeah,
because I didn't know it was a Ring movie yet. And I was like,
oh. Right, yeah. And I was like, but I think they mentioned something kind of interesting where it's like the boy died, right? Because he had heart failure, right? Is that right? Am I remember that correctly?
The boy had a heart attack before the crash happened. So what they said they think occurred was the boy had a heart attack, and in an effort to try to save the kid, the mother looked in the back seat and then accidentally crashed and died. Something like that.
Right. And then I guess maybe a little before that they meet the student or girlfriend or whatever, love interest, May. And and he learns more about the mysterious young woman. Because they refer to her in this summary that I'm reading off, they refer to her, Sadako, as a young woman. So she wasn't a kid. Like, we've
No, yeah, we totally got that wrong. Apparently, yeah, she was already aspiring to be an actress, but then her abilities started to bubble up. I think we need a rewatch.
It feels that way, yeah, especially after watching this movie.
I think we were just really hyper-focused on the American version.
Right, which you like, right? You're a fan?
Yeah, I liked it, yeah. Naomi Watts. In her prime where she was in literally every fucking movie.
I think she literally went from like Mulholland Drive to that, right? And then, I don't know, the movie kind of gets a little complicated here where we see people starting getting sick.
Which, is it a spoiler to say what it ends up being?
A tad. Yeah, I think it is a spoiler what it is, because it kind of like informs the end move, the end message here.
Yeah, I suppose, because I would figure also the spoiler would be why, because I never would have caught that. They had to explain that. I was like, oh, okay.
Right, yeah. And I think that, like, Ando feels that his friend is trying to tell him, and I'm assuming because of everything we had just witnessed, like the death of his child and his wife, mother, that he wants him to destroy the tape, the cursed tape. So he ends up...
And on a sadder level, explains he's able to decipher the note that's in his stomach, right? And it says present, which your boy over here was like, pre-sent. What did he send before? Because I'm fucking... Anyway. he is like, oh, I understand what the present is. It's because I don't have the courage to kill myself. Because of the whole, like, several scenes of him... He keeps losing his son to something in a dream or whatever. And then he found out that his son drowned and they make it sound like he let him drown. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just the way he feels what happened. Right?
He's guilty. Yeah. He's guilty of his son. And they have this great sequence where like he's seeing his, I'm assuming ex-wife. I mean, what happened with her?
I don't know. She died too though, right? Something like
that. I believe so. Yeah. And the child is like, he has that one of the better sequences, I think, is also that scene where she comes home and he sees his wife and they're pretending like essentially the scene is like he's imagining that they're still alive, and then he goes and sees the kid, and then the room fills with water, and then just like this crazy sequence and stuff like that, which I thought was really well done.
Oh, and it's was that a different actor? Like it made, there's everything about it made it seem like he looked younger.
Maybe they did something with his hair. I don't know. That's usually the trick, right? Comb it different, right? Or something.
Cause I mean, it still looked like him, but it was like definitely like a younger version of him. And it was like, he was surprised, right? He saw the toy, like his kid's toy. And then he just kind of like let himself feel what was happening in the thing. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, I like that sequence. There's moments like that in this movie that I think are really great. Specifically, like when he actually watches the tape, I thought it was a really fun sequence. A nice little like, I think I've seen a couple of these like watching tape moments, and I think this is one of the better ones where the way they cut it, I thought was super interesting, because it's like they see the TV. It's almost like a first person view. And then he falls into the well, and then he comes out of it, and he's like...
But before that, remember Sadako is real horny in this one. When he's in the well, she is kissing up on him. It's like, dude. And then every single time she's around him, like, she is trying to jump his bones.
For good reason. Sexy,
spooky bones.
And, yeah, and they... I like that other sequence too, where they're, it's a simple, right? Where they just essentially like he has his hand over his face, and then like the other hand appears in the Sadako, and he's like trying to heavily, he's like again kissing him and stuff like that. And then he kind of like breaks out of it. So,
which I kept thinking, you know, maybe just let it happen, man. I don't know. It's
like, that's the message of this movie, right? Just let it happen.
It's fine. Dead, alive, love is love. Just kidding. I didn't mean it that way. That came out weird. But yeah.
And they kind of, I didn't know if this was part of the, let me ask you, is it known that if you make a copy of this tape that the curse is broken? Is that?
Not broken. What happens is kind of like, It Follows, I think. Man, I don't know. I don't know. I know that it skips you because you've been what's her name's accomplice, Sadako's accomplice. So as long as you're spreading the virus, you're fine. That was a thing in the first movie. That was also the way the American version of Ring ended. Remember, she like forced her kid to pop in the second tape to record the other tape. That's how that ended, yeah. Because she knew that's the only way to like not get killed.
Well, the other guy died. Her love interest died, right?
Yeah, but he never, because that was after they like unearthed her body from the well, and they thought that broke the curse, but it didn't. And she was trying to figure out why she didn't get killed, but she had already made a copy of the tape.
I had this thought where they should, like, an idea I had about like Sadako is like, has there ever been a movie where like there's like a cult of Sadako where like all these people would like worship her and stuff like that? Kind of almost goes to that level, right? Because it's such a well-known like myth.
Wasn't that what the TV series was about? No, that was
that was The Grudge, yeah.
Damn, yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about though, right? The Grudge TV series was kind of that. Remember there was like a cult dedicated to The Grudge?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, they like, they're trying to record, right? Am I tripping? Or what was that?
Smile? Where was it? I don't remember.
They're going to document something that's happening in somebody's old village, which is closed off, and they get in there, and one of the people is not welcome. The girl, the woman's not welcome because she's not a part of the family. You're like, no, she's fine. What was that?
I don't know. I can't think of.
I know, I can't remember what that was either.
It's kind of like that, right? Like, it almost, because I feel like her thing, her kind of like vengeful, restless spirit thing could be worshipped, right? Like, because of how valuable it is and stuff. But yeah, he basically figures out that, like, by reading the journal of his friend who died, that, like, that you will die after 1 week, but if you, like, create a copy, would break the curse, and it would just like kind of continue like a virus, right? Like move on to person to person to person,
like a mutated virus. And this was like Sadako doesn't come out and kill you, it's just these people naturally die of a rare version of small rare version of smallpox, I guess,
right? Because we see a couple of characters get ill, right? Like the reporter is already coughing up a lung. Yeah. He's having the disease or whatever.
His colleague, right, eventually dies. Yeah, because we don't get Sadako coming out of like a television set at all in this movie. It has nothing to do with that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And what happened? I mean, without spoiling it, like, but like something happens off screen, and then we just accept it. They're just told to we just accept it. But I can explain that in spoilers if. When we get there.
Now I'm curious.
Well, I mean, do you want to just go into spoilers or?
Yeah, because I feel like I missed something.
Oh, okay, cool.
I was like, what happened?
Okay, yeah. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. So what I meant by that was that what were we talking about? I've completely lost my mind.
That we accept, so nobody, Sadako doesn't come out of a television, but we accept something happens off screen.
Oh, that she's born. We never see the birth. She's born into reality because May or whatever has a kid, but it's and is born there, but that doesn't happen in the movie. We don't physically see her reformed or whatever. It just sort of happens off screen, and then she shows up, Sadako.
Because I thought Sadako, so May is also has psychic abilities, and this is another weird way that they change the narrative of what the first ring is like. Our main Ando is has sex with her because he's like scared he's about to die. He's got like a day or two before he's gonna die, And he's like, even though I want to die, I'm still afraid to die. I'm like, I'm sorry. And she's like holding him and she's like, I can feel everything, blah, blah, blah. That's why
she's not enjoying the sex.
famous Japanese actor is liked me or whatever. What's his name?
Yeah, because she had this look of like it's not enjoying it. Because she's having like skin to skin contact. So she's like seeing.
She's feeling the, yeah, whatever pain and like fear and all that. And then, you know, he stays alive and he's trying to figure out how. And it's because he had sexually transmitted this virus to her.
Right. I guess that's the twist, right? Is that he has the virus and he's actually spreading it to these people. Yeah. It's not just something.
And he spreads it to her via penetration. I just wanted to say that on the air. And she dies. And I think they pull her out of the well that they find. But Mai is also still around as a zombie Sadako, but it is also still Mai, right? Kind of like what's the name of the Scorpion's character's name? Hiroyuki. Takayama. So Takayama is also around, even though he got his body autopsied. That's what I mean. They're like zombie goths.
No, they very much are. They got, at the very end of this movie, yeah. Yes, they do. They got eyeliner, the whole nine. Just, black clothes.
They're kind of like fucking, what is the name of those shitty vampire werewolf movies? Breaking Dawn and Twilight. They're very like Twilight vampire-esque.
Very much so, yes. Yeah. Yeah, so like basically like Mai, that like basically Ando finds out that Mai turns up, this is here, but was shocked to find that she has been found dead and given birth to no sign of a baby. And Ando goes back to work and sees Mai there, quote unquote, and discovers that she is now no other than Sadako. Reborn and claiming to be perfectly dual gendered. Which is kind of like what the pathology thing was supposed to be, you know, like.
How is she dual gendered?
That's what she claims to be. I have no idea. He then learns that his friend didn't want him to stop the curse, but actually spread it out, which he did, which he had been doing.
I think the gift was he was able to use DNA samples of that he had of his son's hair with the virus to recreate his son, but his son is at the same. This is where you got to like really suspend your disbelief, because
this is where the movie falls apart. I think personally, like
where it's like, oh, that doesn't make sense, but I appreciate what the ending is implying.
Yeah, and I feel like in a sense that I know I'm struggling kind of like recapping this movie because like I kind of got lost at the end. Like it didn't. There's so many jumps and leaps in logic that like it's kind of hard to keep them straight, in my opinion.
So yeah, because his the present that Takayama had given him wasn't necessarily like death. It was, hey, you can bring your son back, and then he has a conversation with him at the very end, like. But what about your son? What about your wife? Don't you want to bring back your son? We have enough DNA to bring back your son as well. And he's like, I can never be so cruel. I can never be so cruel to bring my son back into this world.
Because he's new like, world, right? Because Sadako is
I gave you what you wanted, but like the world is fucked, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is kind of like supposed to be the big twist is that he's actually with this virus spreading more of whatever Sadako's spirit was or something along those lines, right? This is where I think like it gets really muddied. And Sadako brings back the son as a gift because Ando is the one spreading all of this other Sadako whatever virus.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I mean, we had that scene, right? Where did they find the drawing?
Sorry. So it's not even like a I mean, it is a gift, but it's something they did. I think like goth zombie vampire Takayana had, you know, recreated, cloned his son, because that's how they cloned Mei or Mai, whatever, as Sadako. Sadako. God damn it, John. Sadako.
You're a terrible person. No, <just kidding>.
I think they have the ability to kind of clone and manipulate, you know, humans with this virus now, which is like really stretching it too, I know. But
yeah, I feel like I think we both understand what they were trying to do, but it's kind of hard to kind of explain simply, yeah. You know, very matter-of-factly. So
the drawing was in somebody's notebook. They show up briefly before. I think it was May or Mai. I forgot. M-A-I, right? Mai's notebook. She had drawn that at one point before meeting Ando.
So then, yeah, and then we have that scene where they're at the beach and they're in their goth outfit, going to jump in their four-wheel Jeep later. And yeah. then
Holiday Road starts playing, exactly. And then they drive off. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, so it brings the sun back. So in essence, it's kind of like a, you know, bittersweet ending, right? And I thought, honestly, this whole thing he imagined, it's some other like fantasy dream. That's where this scene lives, like in the imagination.
Well, Jacob's Ladder scenario.
Yeah, like I feel like, well, this scene probably isn't real, but then you have the very now, you know, his friend and then Sadako jump in a Jeep and they're taking off. And so it's like, okay, they're alive. They're real. Yeah. They exist. Which is kind of like, was a hard thing to kind of put my head around.
Yeah, and then that Rascal Flatts song plays, what is it? The one from Cars?
I don't know. You're the Rascal Flatts expert between us.
it's true. the Life is a Highway song is playing.
That cover? It's a cover.
Yeah.
Life is a Highway. But yeah, and then it ends like, they tell Andu, many years will pass before our world will be at peace, which is like another, sure, all right, throw more fire on this Kindle. Let's just burn it all down.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, maybe not my favorite ending, but like, I enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed the first two acts of this movie, you know? I liked what they were doing with the Ringu sort of myth. And trying to expand upon it, very and I think the point you were trying to make was that it's like the way in Halloween Season of the Witch they try to do it more anthology by telling this totally separate story unconnected to Michael Myers, but keep the Halloween name, which actually was sort of John Carpenter's intention, I believe, where
that was always the intention, I think,
to make
just different horror tales of Halloween
or holidays, right? He wanted to he wanted to make like the Halloween movie and then a Christmas one and so on and so forth, right? He wanted to kind of like do these tales and stuff. So, but of course that was rejected at the time, but is much more appreciated now for its differences and uniqueness. And it's hard to say how this movie is interpreted in Japanese. I mean, I don't have any other kind of reference other than I'm, you know, reading that it wasn't particularly liked, to the point where a year later they actually made Ring 2, more of a inline direct sequel, so with the Ringu series. So this is kind of like an oddball movie in a way, where it kind of lives as the sequel, but yet it's not heavily particularly liked. Some people have reviewed it before as, you know, poorly or even that it's not even like a lost gem in a way, so it's kind of like this.
Which is so unfair, but maybe I accidentally had a very non-biased opinion about the whole movie, and, you know, because I didn't know it was a Ring movie until the last act. I was like, oh shit, it's a fucking Ring movie. which is very exciting for me. I was like, oh, this is even more, because I was digging the movie. I was like, man, this movie's fucking weird. I like it.
It's a wild swing, right? It's like a wild, different take on the movie, which, or Gonzo sequel, right? Like, kind of like outside of what the series is. So,
and you know, it's not like a jump scare or scary horror movie. Right? You don't get too much of that. I mean, in fact, when you do see Sadako, it's like a very weird, like, or a different take on Sadako that we're aware of. Like, it's she's, like, very sexual. And it's really about this guy rejecting everything. It's like, no, I don't want this. I really just want to die.
Yeah, kind of interesting. Alrighty. Do you have any last thoughts, or do you want to rate the movie?
I'm ready to rate the movie higher than you're probably going to rate it.
Whoa, we'll see.
3 point. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, let's use our unscientific but yet very, very sexy rating system. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Spiral 8 sexy spooky bones.
You know what? I'm going to go 6. I there's things to like about this movie, and I think overall I did enjoy it. But there are other things where I felt like I was a little like less excited about or confused.
Which I think, again, I think it helped dramatically that I had no idea it was a Ring movie. I just thought it was a standalone horror movie, like just a random Japanese horror movie that we weren't aware of. And I was like, man, this is fun. I like this.
Yeah. And I those, to me, again, like those first two acts I thought were really good. I was like in the movie, but like the third act happens and it's just like most of, and I don't mean to be generalizing, but like most of these J horror movies kind of end up that way where it gets really messy and taking wild swings in the third act.
Yeah. Really wild. Yeah. So. You know what movie took a really wild swing in the third act and then just really paid off? And I'm already fucking blanking on the name. The one we reviewed where it felt like three different stories. Like it was an investigative story, not Videodrome. It was an investigative story. And then they're like, oh, we got to break this curse. And then this like, I think they had buried a Japanese general somewhere. And then he got unearthed like
Exuma.
A demon spirit. Exuma. Yes. Man, that movie fucking ruled.
Yes. Revisited it. Several months back, still holds up. Great movie.
Yeah, fucking cool movie. Yeah.
All right, guys, gals, not binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.